And so Isaiah 11 is a scripture that's read oftentimes at Christmas. If you've ever been to a Christmas service, a Christmas Eve service, you'll likely have heard that. It's this prophecy about Jesus who is to come. And in this prophecy, it starts out with speaking about a branch from Jesse. And what's interesting is that the branch makes sense because we know that the Messiah is going to come for the line of King David. But what happens in the verses just prior to that is that Jesus, or God, is saying this, and the Holy Spirit is informing Isaiah the prophet. In verse 33, 10 verse 33, it says, "See, the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One." See, all these things that are happening in Isaiah are the result and the judgment that happens to the people of God as they turn from God and become separated and become lost. But God says, hey, I've got control of this. And even those who have taken you into captivity, I will humble them. I will lay them low. I will lop off the boughs. I will take down. Therefore, I will metaphorically bring them low. And what God goes on to say next is that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And so God honors the promise that he made to King David, that the Messiah would come from his lineage, that God would not fail them, that God would not forsake them, just like we sang. And that from this lineage a shoot would come up. And we know that this shoot is Jesus. We know that he is the one, that this is some 700 years before Jesus that he's talking about Jesus. Now this Advent, we are in a series that is called The Spirit of Christmas. And we are setting out to look at how God, the Holy Spirit, was present specifically around the essential parts of the Christmas narrative. And this week we are looking at the Spirit at work in and among prophecy, hence the title of this message, which is Foretold. Now, what comes to your mind when I say Spirit of Christmas? What do you think of? What resonates? I've been asking a few people that, and different things come to mind. One of the more common ones is Charles Dickens. His book, his novel, that's translated into 20-some-odd movies. Did you get a picture there, Sam? Not yet? Oh, it is there. There it is. I was just looking the wrong way. There it is. Christmas Carol. Anybody seen this? Anybody seen more than 5 versions? Anybody seen more than 10 versions? No? Okay, we're late. I didn't know there were over 20 versions of A Christmas Carol. Now, in Charles Dickens' novel turned into the movie, we see the ghost from Christmas past, we see the ghost from Christmas present, we see the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And Ebenezer Scrooge is inspired after seeing that to have life change. Now, this is not the spirit of Christmas that we are seeking to talk about this Advent. So I'm sorry if I've disappointed you there. But just a little bit of a preamble there. See, we're seeking to talk about the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. The true Spirit of Christmas. And what is this all about? Why are we doing this? The reason that we're doing this is this is all about the truth that God loves us so, so much. That God looks at each and every single one of you, and there's nothing that you've done that can separate you or take you out of that love. Nothing. He looks at you with all of your gifts, all the amazing things that you've done, all of your successes. He looks at you with all of your failures, all of the things that you've messed up, all the ways that you've fallen, and he grabs you and he loves you. And here's what I want to suggest, is that the only way that we can know, truly know and experience this love, the love that is true and is from God, is through his Holy Spirit. That is the only way. Now, I've read this scripture numerous times, and where I have historically always landed on is this truth of Jesus. It's about the lineage, just like what I talked about. But if you read carefully, this is what you'll hear. The shoot that comes up, which we know is Jesus. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit, that's God, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit, that's God, the Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit, that's God, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he, that is the shoot, that is Jesus, will delight in the fear of the Lord. And so our goal, if you're with us, our goal this Advent is to know God's love more and more and more and more deeply in our lives. See, this is all about relationship. This is all about relationship. The more that we know God and the longer that we know God, the more we should love him and adore him and experience him. It's like in my relationship with my wife. The longer that we have been married, we're coming up on 20 years, the more I appreciate and value and even understand, the more I hear about, the more stories come up from when she was young and when she was growing up. And hopefully it's mutual. Hopefully we're drawn to each other. It's similar with our kids, isn't it? The longer we know them, even in the midst of their failings, even in the midst of their walking away, even in the midst of hurt, the more we love them. And this is where we're going with this theme of the spirit of Christmas. We are seeking to know God more and more. And the only way that we can truly know him, the only way that we can go deeper, is through the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is it? So when we think of God, we understand, because we've heard it, we understand in theory of this Trinity, this idea of the Trinity, that is God the Father, that is God the Son, that is God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, the Trinity. All God, all of them are equal in their being, but they're different in their role. Now, specifically the Spirit of God, the very first time we see him in all of Scripture is in the second verse of the Bible. Genesis 1 verse 2, the Spirit of God is moving or hovering over the waters. Just as when Jesus was baptized by John, he came up and the Spirit of God descended and hovered. Just like the Spirit of God at Pentecost came and descended and hovered over people. God has been active from the very beginning of creation. God the Spirit has been moving from the beginning of creation. He's been moving all the way throughout, and he's still moving now. 2 Peter 1 verse 19 tells us where else God's Spirit has been at work. It says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it. Church, pay attention. As to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I woke up this morning and it's pitch black in my house. I can't see anything. I'm trying to use just a little bit of my phone enough so that I can see, so that I can make my steps through the house. And what Peter is saying is, pay attention. You need this light. As I went through the house, eventually more light came on and more light came on and the fire was started. And now look at this, the sun is shining. Church, pay attention. Some of us are not paying attention. Pay attention. This is important. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. And we understand that God the Father is a person. We can wrap our minds around it. We have some kind of an earthly father that gives us indications. Sometimes that's positive, sometimes it's negative. We understand that the Son, Jesus, who existed also from the beginning, who holds everything together. We understand that his ministry impacted the world. Whether you acknowledge it or not, and whether the world acknowledges it or not, his ministry, his life changed the world. How do you write your date? What's the year? And we understand that Jesus is right now, his work didn't finish when he died. His work continued on. In fact, he stands before the Father saying, hey, I've got these guys. Listen. He's our lawyer before God the Father, loving and caring and moving. But here's the thing, we don't always understand that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person, equally God, at work right now in this moment, here to make God seen, to make God known, to reveal. And the thing is, church, we actually have the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. When we choose Jesus, we have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 8 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. If you want to know God, if you want to know Jesus, if you want freedom, the only way you're going to move there is through the Holy Spirit. Now there's four, what I'm calling standing points that I want to draw our attention to here, and we're going to land back on one specific idea. Now, as we're reading this in prophecy, we understand that before Jesus, this happened to some. God's Spirit actually rested upon people throughout the Old Testament. But after Jesus, God's Spirit rests and is available to all those who believe in Jesus. So first is that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, will rest on him. We mentioned this idea of God's Spirit resting on. I mentioned that God's Spirit was moving at the beginning of creation and moved throughout. The second is these ruling attributes that will come empowered by the Spirit that Jesus would have. These ruling abilities, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. Now this is the one that we're going to come back here to in a moment, but when you think of wisdom and you think of understanding, you think of somebody who's really smart. Right? You think of the smartest person that you know, maybe it's a theologian, maybe it's a philosopher, maybe it's something like that. But this is different than our mere understanding. This is a Holy Spirit empowered understanding. And the next attributes are the spirit of counsel and of might. And these are practical abilities. This is the way that Jesus was able to operate. This is the way that Jesus passed on for us to operate. And the last one are spiritual attributes, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And these are spiritual attributes, and these are all tied to relationship with God the Father. These are all tied to knowing God, to being in relationship, to being guided by His Spirit. And it says in 3a, He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will delight because He knows how amazing God is. My kids, when we do things around the house or out on the property or things like that, especially the young ones, when it comes to lifting, we were lifting these rounds, not these ones, but some like them, into a trailer the other day, and some of my kids were struggling just to move them over, and I came over and I lifted them up and I put it in, and they went, "Oh, Dad, wow." There was this fear and this awe, this reverence that they had as they saw me accomplish this mighty feat. Now they start to hit, 14, 15, 16. All of a sudden it's not as impressive anymore. All of a sudden it's, "Dad, I can do two of those." But this is the fear. It's not this petrified hiding in a corner, worried that the Father is going to come and beat him. That's not the fear of the Lord that we're talking about. That's a lie. The fear that we're talking about is this abandoned adoration of a God who is so mighty and so amazing, and who loves us so much. Now here's where we're going to land, and this ties into all of the attributes, but specifically, we're talking about this wisdom and understanding, and this is what I want to suggest is one of our main struggles. This is one of our culture's main struggles. Though our minds, that is our intellect, are clearly a gift from God, they can also be the source of our greatest struggle. It can also be the source of our greatest struggle. See, when we try and understand and comprehend spiritual things with our intellect, that is, with our thinking, we come up short. And when we come up short in something, in our mind, in our intellect, we generally do one of two things, don't we? The first is that we try harder and harder, and we look more and more, and we try and use our brain more and more to figure out what is going wrong. Or the second is that we give up and we stop searching and we turn to old familiar ways. And see, what I want to suggest, just like I was saying, that the only way to grow in your knowledge and your relationship with Jesus is through the Spirit, is that there's a difference between the intellectual knowledge, that is your brain knowledge and understanding of God, and Spirit-revealed knowledge. There's a difference. And see, some of us are sitting here, some of us are sitting here right now, and we've grown up in the church. Maybe we've wandered away from the church, or maybe we've stayed with the church just out of obligation. And we're arriving in this place of knowing words, but actually not really knowing God. I You see, some have learned, they've done their very best in their mind to move through the paces, to move through the motions. They've done all this searching and all this seeking and all this intellectual effort. You've read the most amazing 10 steps to grow deeper with God, 10 steps to be a better human being, etc. And you're arriving in this place feeling like you don't really know God. And here's the thing. We can do all of those things. We can function, we can accomplish all those things. We can go through Bible college and seminary, and we can arrive not really knowing God at all, because God is not known by external things. God is not known by external things. We are blind and we can't see because the things of God we don't know. Nobody knows it except the Holy Spirit. Nobody knows it except God. 1 Corinthians 2, 10-11 says this: "These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit." Now, this is an Isaiah reference that talks about no eye, no ear, no mind knows what God has planned for those who love Him. "These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." God knows Himself. The Holy Spirit knows God because the Holy Spirit is God. And no man, no woman, no human being can know God except by the Spirit of God. For us to disregard this, for us to go, yeah, you know what, I've seen some pretty scary things when people start talking about the Spirit of God, and I'm just going to take the safe way, I'm going to take the black and white print of the Bible, and that's how I'm going to live. You're putting yourself into this isolated place. The Holy Spirit gives us direction, gives us life. In our spirit, this is the way that we understand divine things. See, and before Jesus, before we make that confession of faith in Jesus and come to that faith, in a sense, our spirit is dead. It says this in Romans 8. It's dead because of sin. Just dead. When we choose Jesus, our spirit comes alive because of the Holy Spirit. He works in us. He brings us to life. He breathes life into us. And this is such an essential thing that we understand, that it's in our spirit, from the Holy Spirit, that we understand and grow in our relationship with God. That's the only way. Anybody listening to Christmas music right now? Anybody listening to Christmas music? A few? Anybody got the station dialed to 106.5 right now? A few? It's a fairly minority at this point. Russ and I were talking this morning about what music to put on for the background, and together we agreed, well, we'll just go normal for this Sunday, and then next week we'll switch to just more of the Christmas music going into the season. Right, so some of us are delighted that Christmas music. I think that Jody may have been playing Christmas music in October. Is it possible? I think so. I'm pretty sure it was. Now, I love Christmas. I love the season. I love all the music around it. Even I thought that was a little bit early. Some of us aren't ready for Christmas music until December 24th. Now, either way, regardless of where you're standing, are you listening to Christmas music with your eyes? How did it go listening to that music with your eyes? You should be looking at me in a confused way, because that doesn't make sense. You heard the music with your ears. We listen to music. We appreciate it through our ears. That's how we hear. Anybody seen a spectacular sunset lately? There have been a few. Anybody? Yes? Yes? I'm seeing a lot of Davis Bay people put up their hands. How's that? Is that your picture, Sam? It's your dad's picture. So this is a Guy Robinson original. And this is just in Davis Bay here. Now, as you look at that sunset, are you appreciating it with your ears? Do you just go, man, that sunset listens, it sounds so nice. No, of course not. You're seeing it with your eyes. God's given us these gifts, these abilities, these senses to hear music and to delight in it, to see a sunset and to glorify God. Say, God, this is amazing that you created this. And see, the thing is, we somehow get confused when it comes to saying that you don't use your mind. You don't use your human mind, your intellect, to apprehend or comprehend God the Father. You use your spirit. God's spirit speaks to you and draws you into relationship. Isaiah 55 says this, Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. First Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. On our own, with our own understanding, with our intellect, we can't understand or receive the things that the Spirit of God has for us. John 16:12 says this, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And remember, this is Jesus, who's living with the Holy Spirit on him. This is the one that it said in Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, not human wisdom and understanding, but God's wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might, not human counsel and might, but God's counsel and might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, not human knowledge, not human fear, but God's knowledge and God's fear. The one who reveals Christ to us is the Spirit of God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2:6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Again, Paul is differentiating between human wisdom and godly wisdom. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. See, before Jesus, this wisdom that came with God's Spirit would land and rest on certain people, certain individuals, certain leaders, as God would deem. After Jesus, now this wisdom, this understanding, this relationship is available for us all. Paul goes on. None of the rulers of this age understood it, because if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Do you know what, church? God has so much for you. He has so much for you. All we need to do is press into him. All we need to do is come to the place where we go, God, I can't figure it out. And we rest in the Spirit of God. Here's the thing. We as human beings, we can know about God. We can know that Christ died for us. We can even write songs, books. We can be the head of these religious organizations, hold these essential offices in the church. And we can still never come to the vital, the personal knowledge of God. It's only by God's Spirit that we can know God. Let me ask you this. Who is your Jesus? Christmas is all about Jesus, isn't it? It's about recognizing that God loved the world so much that he sent his Son. That he sent his Son to live that perfect life. And that in living that perfect life and answering that call and dying on the cross and taking all of our sins to him and not being held and being raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, that when we believe that, we have freedom. But who is your Jesus? Is your Jesus the Christ of history? The Christ of the creeds and various doctrines? Or is your Jesus the Jesus that only the Holy Spirit can reveal? A.W. Tozer put it this way. He said this: it's possible to read your New Testament and still never find the living Christ in it. You may be convinced that he is the Son of God and still never find him as the living person he is. Jesus Christ must be revealed by the Holy Spirit. No man knows the things of God but by the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, I would like to make an emphasis here, make clearly a revelation of the Holy Spirit, and one glorious flash of inward illumination would teach you more of Jesus than 5 years in a theological seminary, and I believe in the seminary. This is A.W. Tozer, theologian, gifted preacher, speaker, actually was part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. We're going to move into communion here. And so if I can invite whoever's doing communion, if you want to just make your way up. I'm just going to talk just for a few minutes. Just get ready. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit for all humankind is to tell us of the difference between right and wrong. We see that in John 16. The Holy Spirit tells us what is good, what is evil, what sin looks like, all those things. See, yesterday I was with my son, Zadok, who is the wise age of 7 years old. And we were down in my basement. I'm doing a little project in my basement right now, and he grabbed a tape measure of mine. He picked it out of my tool belt that was sitting on the floor, and he grabbed it, and he started just to take it out and to measure stuff, which is fun. It's fun to measure stuff. That's great. Go ahead and measure stuff. And then he started to take it, and then he started to drop the tape measure just to see how fast he could make it drop. And I said, hey, buddy, hey, just don't do that. And I went back to what I was doing. And he waited a second, and then he went and he dropped it again to make it drop. And Zay, hang on, don't drop. It's not good for the tape measure, buddy. You're going to wreck my. It's one of my good tape measure. It's a Fat Max. It's 30 feet. It's a good one, right? I turn around and I look back, and there he goes one more time. Whack! And so I go over to him, and I take the tape measure out, and I put it in my tool belt, and I say, Zay, buddy, why did you do that? And if I'm standing here and he's here, he does this. Won't look at me. Won't even look at me. I go, Zay, buddy, why did you do that? This is what he does. And I get down close to him, and I gently turn his face to me, and he just does not want to look at me. Right? He doesn't want to look at me. And I wasn't angry, and I started to say, Zay, but it's really important that you listen to me. Right? It's important that you understand. And I had this flash of comprehension, of seeing the times where I've corrected my kids. And there are times where I'll get that response, and there are times where all of a sudden there's this looking towards me. And it's often accompanied by tears, right? Isn't it? It's like they come to the end and they go, oh man, Dad, you're right. And see, as God's Spirit has spoken to me, more often than not, it's this gentle nudge, this drawing, this, hey, Joel. Hey, Joel, don't play with that stuff. Don't touch that stuff. And I thought of my posture towards God. Sometimes, la, 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 right? Sometimes a backwards glance. And then there comes the moment where I turn and I face and I look, and in my heart I know that there's more. I know that there's a fullness. I know that as I release it, that there's this restoring. It's not that God's ever left me. It's that I've turned from God. It's this restoring and re-entering. Amen. Right? If we want to truly understand the scope of Christmas, the gift of God that is in Jesus, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it with our intellect. It has to be in our spirit, trusting God's Spirit. As we move into communion, I want to invite you to consider your posture to God's Spirit. Now, God's Spirit, He speaks to us. We hear Him in different ways. One of the ways is this gentle nudge and draw. But as soon as we start to press into Him and face into Him, He talks more. We hear more. So I just want you to consider your posture towards God's Spirit. Are you in this place of kind of your back to Him? Are you starting to look? Are you ready? And so the way that we are going to do communion is we're just going to invite you to make your way forward, and Dan and Sharon will give you the bread and the cup, and you can take the bread and then just bring the cup back with you, and then we'll do that together. And so, Father, we're your church, we're your people, Lord. And we come to this place right now with this truth of you loving us. You loving us enough that you knew about and you told about what was to come. And that you've called us to live in this place of glory, of knowing your Spirit. And Lord, we confess that often we choose our own minds, our own intellect. So we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would nurture us, that you would call us, that you would convict us, that you would draw us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So just invite you to come and grab the bread and the cup as you're ready. I invite you to stand as well, because we're going to sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations arise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hailed incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Let's do verse 1 again.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations arise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Sing glory to the newborn King. Hark, the herald angels sing.
in Hebrews 10, we read this: the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." And he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. And so we hold in our hands the new covenant. We hold this reality that as we choose Jesus, we have his laws in our hearts and in our minds. And so considering our posture towards God, towards the Holy Spirit, and turning towards him now, I invite us to take and drink. So one of the traditions that we have at Crossroads is the lighting of our Advent candle. And today we're going to light the first candle of Advent. And Advent means coming or second coming. And as I light it, and as we move out from here, I want us to remember that it's through God's Spirit that the birth of Jesus is foretold. His life, his death, his resurrection, fullness of life available to us as we believe and come to understanding. And so you may be standing right now going, "That's great, Joel. What does that even mean? You're talking spiritual things." The beautiful thing about this, that it's not really about our work. It's not really about our work. What it means is our posture shifting towards him. And as it shifts, we say, "Yes, Lord, I love you. And yes, Lord, I hear you. I turn from the sacred raisin cake." We talked about that last week. "And yes, Lord, I wait on you. I wait for you." And then we start living. And so, church, I bless you. I bless you with the truth that was foretold. I bless you with the reality that we live now in this place, in this time of glory, because of the availability and the presence of God the Spirit. Bless you this week. Have an amazing week. Amen.
As you go, we'll just sing one more verse, one of Hark the Herald. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations arise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born.